All right. God is good, isn't he? Less than a week away from Christmas morning. So those of you who haven't gotten that Christmas shopping done, you got to take care of that. What a wonderful time of year. It's been a joy to communicate to folks, hey, have a Merry Christmas, and most people respond really well to that, don't they? But usually we probably mean something else. I mean when I say that to somebody, I'm hoping that they give their hearts to Christ and exalt Him. And so this morning we're gonna look at both accounts of the Christmas story. We're going to start out in Luke chapter 2. We're going to look at, start in verse 1, Luke chapter 2, verse 1, and see what Luke writes down about this. And then we're gonna look at Matthew. And so just follow along with me. If you have your Bibles, you can look there. If you're watching from home, you'll have to look on your Bible. You won't see it on the screen. You don't get the screens in the video. But here's how it starts. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus, you might have heard him named Caesar Augustus, he decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. Verse 2, this was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Verse 3, all returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. Verse 4, and because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. Now, don't you think that that's pretty interesting? Last Sunday, I mentioned some of those fulfilled prophecies, Old Testament prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. And isn't it interesting that the emperor said, hey, you need to go back to your ancestral town? You can see Joseph was living in Nazareth, but he was required by the emperor to go back to his ancestral town. And that's why Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Pretty interesting, huh? Again, Jesus is the only one that could have been Jesus. Pretty cool. And let's see, verse 5. Joseph took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And as we understand, rather expecting. She was just about ready. Verse 6. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave him to her firstborn son. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. Verse 8, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. And again, angels must say this a lot. Don't be afraid. If you're going to be an angel, you have to go through a class, evidently, to know how to say that. Not that we become angels. But the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. Look at that. I bring you great joy. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. How incredible. And in reality, that is 100% true. Because if every person would acknowledge that Jesus is the Savior, the Messiah that was prophesied, then he would transform them from the inside out and fill them with joy. Would he not? So really, that statement is 100% true. Verse 11, the Savior, the angels continued, yes, he's the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, in the city of David. and you will recognize him by this sign. All right, we already read about this. Mary gave birth to this boy and wrapped him in these strips of cloth and laid him in the manger. You will find this is going to be the sign of that this is the Messiah. You will find him wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. God is good, isn't he? Verse 13, suddenly the one angel was joined by a vast host of other angels, the armies of heaven. I wonder if those angels, the armies of heaven, were just like, just waiting. Is it time yet? Come on, can we go? Can we go yet? And I suspect Jesus might be doing the same thing right now. God, is it time? Father, is it time to go back? Is it time to go? Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those whom God has pleased. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, these shepherds look at each other and they said, hey, why don't we go to Bethlehem? Let's go and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Makes good sense, doesn't it? They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. So in this account of Luke, we see it leads up to Jesus being born and kind of where he was born, and then goes on to talk about these angels and these shepherds. But I want to turn now to Matthew chapter 2. Turn now to Matthew chapter 2. We're going to look at the first two verses. And this is where the thrust of the message this morning comes. Matthew writes in verse 1, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem, asking. Now these were wise men from the east. Some say that they might have been from Babylon or maybe even further east than that. Still, a lot of questions arise. Verse 2, they were asking, where is the newborn king of the Jews? Because in the next part of this verse, we gain a little bit of more understanding. It says, we saw his star as it rose. You see, God sent an angel to the shepherds. They didn't know anything about the star. He sent an angel to these shepherds to tell them, hey, go check this out. But to these wise men from the east, God sent a star. And he says they understood, they saw his star as it rose, and then they made their trek over there to Jerusalem. They figured that this king of the Jews would likely be in Jerusalem, and he was not. So they didn't know exactly where he was going to be. But then they met with Herod to find out, hey, where's the king of the Jews? Which Herod doesn't like any part of it. He catches what he hears is somebody's going to take your place. And that's when he begins to try to figure out how he can squash this new king. But look at what these wise men say. Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and look at this, and we have come to worship him. So there's many, many questions around Jesus' birth, about really the timing of it, about these wise men. Who really were they? Were they kings? Were they not? Were they from Babylon? Were they from somewhere else? Who were they? And really, we don't know even how many of them there were. We generally say there was three traditionally because there was three gifts given. But we're not certain about that. And it's probable that they came... they came when Jesus was a toddler, even. The star rose probably when Jesus was born. They start making their long trek because they couldn't go straight there. They had to kind of go around because they would be going through a desert. And so it took them a while to get there. It was likely he would have been even close to 2 years old when these wise men arrived. But look at what they said. Even though there's so many questions around all the specifics of this, and even questions about the star, how did that come about? Was it just something that God was directing them by alone, or was it stars that had lined up? I don't know definitely, but we do have a question this morning, and that question stems from this last part here. They said, "And we have come to worship Him." So my question for you this morning is, have you come to worship Him? Is that why you're really here? And I can't answer that for you. No one else in the room can answer that for you. You have to be able to answer that for yourselves. And so I want to just settle in this moment for this, on that, this aspect of worship. Worship is... it really means to bow down. Did anybody catch that in any of the songs that we sang already this morning? How many times did you catch that? I think I caught it twice, if not three times. To bow down before Him on bended knee. And so that's what worship is. And it doesn't mean that in order to worship, we have to literally bow down to Him. But I think it's a bowing of our hearts. It is us simply responding to God in humility and saying, God, You're greater than I am. And I come to You because You are my strength and You're my source. And so we offer Him ourselves, and this worship has to do also with a lifting up and adoring Him. We've sang this song, "Oh come, let us adore Him," and we do that and we worship God. But I want to point this out to you. I find it interesting that these wise men, let me call them foreigners. I find it interesting that God directed these foreigners to the Savior of the world. And what I see in that is, I believe that God invited them to worship. And I believe that God invites you and I to worship. Have you ever considered it that way, that you are invited by the Creator to come to the Creator? And that's who Jesus is. We know that He was with God in the beginning, don't we? He's always been. He's part of God. He's the third person of the Trinity. That's why we worship Him. We worship Jesus because of who He is. And notice, and it's kind of mind-boggling, but these wise men came and worshiped a toddler. He was already the king. What a responsibility for Mary and Joseph. Pretty interesting. But these wise men were invited. You and I are also invited. You and I are invited daily to come and worship the King of all creation. You're invited. He invited these outsiders, if you will. And really, you and I would be outsiders if we're dealing with, in that day, the outsiders were those who were not Jewish. So you and I would classify as that. I love it. God wants all people to worship Him because God is great, big. He's enormous. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our whole lives, isn't He? He's our Creator. And Jesus is specifically the image of the invisible God, why we worship Him. He's our Savior. He is sovereign and supreme. He's eternal. He's holy. All reasons that we worship Jesus. And today I'm going to give an invitation once more. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. We're going to worship the Lord. You're invited once more to worship the King of Kings. You're invited once more to worship. We're not worshiping today. We're not worshiping an infant or a toddler. Jesus is the risen King, okay? Matter of fact, in his death and resurrection, Jesus defeated every foe. Whether it's sickness or disease, whether it's he defeated death itself. He defeated every foe. Fear. rebellion in our hearts. And this morning, you're invited. You're invited to worship this King, King Jesus. I'm going to invite you to step out even, come to the altar, and let's worship. Let's lift our hands. You can bow if you'd like. Let's worship Him because, ladies and gentlemen, He's worthy. Matter of fact, He's beyond worth. There is nothing that you can gain in this world that would compare. There's nothing that you could buy, that you could purchase, that you could save up your money that would even begin to come close to who our Master is. And let me tell you, I want to let you in on a little secret. Any time spent with Him is not time wasted. Matter of fact, that's the only way that we can become more like Him is by spending time with Him. So, worship team is getting ready to... You guys ready? Sound on, please, for the worship team. All. Let's worship. Let's worship. Come on out.
You step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. altogether worthy. Oh, come.
Almighty God, we thank you for the invitation to worship you, the invitation to come to you and to drink from the well. God, we're just so grateful. We're so grateful for the opportunity to gather together, the opportunity to worship side by side. What a joy to lift up the mighty name of Jesus. God, we worship you. Thank you, Lord. We have come to worship you. That's why we're here. And God, we thank you for the privilege of knowing you. Now, Lord, would you fill us up? Would you change us from the inside out? And would you fill us up so much that we would be a blessing to other people? Lord, that they too could know what we know. Use us, Heavenly Father. We thank you. And we love you for it. God, you're so good. You're so good. Lord, I'm thankful for your presence. Radiate through us your wonderful presence. God, I ask that you go with your people. Encourage them. Speak to them, show them wonderful things in your word. Guide their steps and help them, God, to honor you at every turn with every word, even with their attitudes. Encourage them, God. Be with them and use them to reach someone else. I thank you for it all. You're so good. You're so worthy. And Lord, let them hear and understand your invitation to worship tomorrow and the next day. And the next day, and every day that you give them, may they respond with obedience. May they respond with true worship, because you're seeking worshipers who will worship in spirit and in truth. And God, we want to do just that. We want to be that kind of worshiper. We thank you for the privilege of knowing you. Go with your people. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. As these are making their way back to their seats, I want to invite you Wednesday night, the 22nd, for our candlelight service. Love to have you. It's going to be a blast.